You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Hello, and welcome to a very, very special performance interview takeover here on Full Service Radio on this lovely Thursday afternoon here at the beautiful Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm the Full Service Radio executive producer, Jack Inslee, and I'm incredibly excited, actually, to hear some poetry, to hear some music, to hear some history, all in celebration of Now You See Us, From Periphery to Presence, which is a music and poetry showcase presented in partnership with the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. So this is happening tonight at the Kennedy Center, Millennium Stage, and Tropicalia, I believe. Or tomorrow, I'm sorry. This is happening tomorrow at the Kennedy Center, Millennium Stage, and Tropicalia. But if you're hearing this in the future, that's okay, because you'll still hear some music and sounds and poetry today, right here on Full Service Radio. So I want to introduce the two guests that we have here. First, Qais Essar, who is a contemporary Afghan composer, instrumentalist, and producer who channels the melodic designs through the rabab, which is a 2,500-year-old instrument from Afghanistan. So he has toured extensively and is here with us in the studio. Qais, welcome to Full Service Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm also joined by poet Shameh Ali Naeem, who was born in India, raised both in the UK and the US, Philadelphia-based poet and visual artist, and a former public interest lawyer supporting economic justice for survivors of family and intimate partner violence. So, Shameh, welcome to Full Service Radio.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
So I'm very excited to hear more about the program that's planned at the Kennedy Center and Tropicalia. But first, I'd like to talk to you, Qais, about this incredibly beautiful instrument you're holding here in the studio at Full Service Radio, a 2,500-year-old instrument from Afghanistan. I don't imagine that actual instrument there is 2,500
years. This actual instrument is about 25, but the actual instrument itself is about 2,500 years old. And we can date it by looking at its place in history. It's found in a lot of Sufi poetry. Rumi, who I feel most people know of, has mentioned it in countless works of his poetry. It's said that he also played the rabab, so very old, very rich history.
And how did you find your way to this instrument?
I think it found me. There was a point in my early adolescence where I had begun my formal training in music at about 7, and there was a point where I had almost like auditioned different instruments. Before the rabab, I had played sitar and tambur, which is another instrument from Afghanistan. And it was around, it was later which the rabab was introduced to me. And then after that, it was pretty much it for me.
So you are from Phoenix, Arizona, is that right?
Yeah, all my stuff's in Phoenix.
All your stuff's in Phoenix. What is there an Afghan community in Phoenix? What is the Eastern music scene like generally in Phoenix? What was it like growing up there?
I mean, I grew up here in D.C. So
you've moved to Phoenix, okay.
Yeah. As far as the diaspora in Phoenix, there is a community. It's not as large as it is here in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area or, the Bay Area. But, we're everywhere.
No, absolutely. And I'm sure Arizona's, at least climate-wise, very different than living here in D.C. That, I'm sure.
It's a dry heat. That's what they keep telling me.
Right. So you've done work for, scoring film and video.
Yeah.
Musicals, yeah?
Yeah.
So you're sort of all over the place. What do you enjoy most? Is it composition? Is it, is there something that you enjoy more than the other things?
I mean, I enjoy music, So, you know, in whatever form, being the performance of being writing music, for a musical, for a movie, if it's compositions of my own, I just honestly enjoy just being immersed in all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. So for our radio listeners who can't see the beautiful rabab that you're holding, maybe you can kind of maybe play a little bit, but talk to us about the instrument itself. Sort of try to paint a picture of what this is for somebody that can't see it.
Sure. So a really brief overview. The rabab originates in present-day Afghanistan. But ever since, you know, it's had a way to kind of permeate through the through borders, and it's found in Central Asia and in you know, South Asia as well, as far as North India. This rabab specifically is, you know, an Afghan rabab or Kabuli rabab, and these are made from mulberry, the mulberry trees which are found specific to northern Afghanistan. All the inlay work, which none of y'all can see, but you can, is mother of pearl. So, you know, and it ranges. Some are more done up, and some are more conservative in their appearance. But, and I can play you some. There's a gauntlet of sympathetic string, which kind of act as kind of like an archaic amplification system. So, you know, when I am performing a specific rag, which is a set of notes, these are the notes that these sympathetic strings are tuned to. And when you play, you know, within the framework of those notes, the rabab kind of reverberates, and it has this sheen that you would kind of associate with, you know, Eastern music, specifically North Indian classical music. So, you know, these are the set of a 17 sympathetic strings that I don't necessarily play, but act as resonance. And there's three melodic strings that I primarily play on. And these are tuned to fourths, much like a guitar is tuned to. So I'm gonna play a small segment of a piece that is on my new album. This is a piece in seven, so. And this is usually a different instrument. It says an instrument called tanpura. In lieu of a real tanpura, I'm using an app. So today on tanpura, we have Steve Jobs. And tuning is very much a part of this music because these instruments are so, you know, sensitive to its climate and lights and stuff. So
thank you.
that's just a brief kind of intro to the rabab and the sound of the rabab. You can hear sometimes how it's kind of, you know, that particular sheen that I was talking about, it kind of comes out when you're playing with, you know, when everything is in tune properly, so.
Sounds like a power chord.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. Now is that, you said that's off a new record that is out or coming out?
It's off a new record that I dropped on back in April, The Ghost You Love Most, and that's the first track entitled The Culmination of a Sorrowful Life.
So that is an original composition, and
yes.
How different is, or what kind of reimagining is that of traditional music that might be played on the rabab?
It's more or less context. So in the context that I'm writing, what you don't hear right now is the chord progression. So that's the one thing I would say chiefly that that differs is that, you know, on the Western side, there's that specific kind of harmonic information in like chord progressions and stuff. Whereas for us, you know, even though they said, well, there's a lack of harmony in Eastern music, our perception of harmony is, you know, whatever we're playing against this drone. You know, so if I was to play, you know, this drone is just droning on a tonic and fifth, let's make it a little, you know, music-y, but, you know, if I were to play a, you know, a natural third together with the drone, that's a major chord, that's the major third and tonic and fifth. So it's how we perceive, you know, harmony. But yeah, in specifically with the new album and in compositional works that I do, having a background in Western music, I'm better able to kind of create an amalgam where, you know, you borrow maybe, you know, the harmonic information and, you know, chordal structure from the West and then apply a more Eastern melody on top of it.
It's interesting because I think a lot of those Eastern harmonic fundamentals would, to a Western ear, sound mystical or different. And I know, you know, that's part of what the concept behind this Now You See Us from Periphery to Presence, I believe, is. And we are joined in the studio also by Nafisa, and I think maybe it may be good to get a little bit of context behind this showcase that is happening here in Washington, D.C. So, Nafisa, why don't you talk to us a little bit about the program, how this came together before we move in to some poetry, and, yeah, give us a little bit of context about how this all fits together.
Sure. Thanks, Jack, for having us all here today on Full Service. So this program is being presented by the Smithsonian Asian Pacific American Center. Thanks. And we're a tiny little center within the Smithsonian that aims to highlight Asian, American, and Pacific Islander culture, art, and history. We see ourselves as a lab for innovation within the museum field and try to be as inclusive and as representative as we can of our communities and meet them where they're at through programs, through pop-up exhibitions, through a lot of digital projects. And so we're really excited to have been able to partner with the Kennedy Center for this particular program and actually with Tropicalia too. In the evening tomorrow, we'll start off with a 6 p.m. performance at the Millennium Stage and then an 8 p.m. longer set at Tropicalia right at 14th and U.
Very exciting. So moving on to the second performer we have in the studio, Shamay Ali Naeem. Hello again and welcome.
Hi.
So as I mentioned earlier in the introduction, Indian born, raised in the UK and US, and then, you know, a former public interest lawyer. So how do we go from public interest law to now being a poet and visual artist? You know, is art something you had always practiced and just sort of took a back seat and now is in the front seat? Or kind of talk us through that transition.
Well, I've always been an artist. I don't know if I would have called myself that in my earlier years, but I definitely have always had an art practice. I've always written. I didn't really see public interest law as that oppositional to my art practice. Both had the goal to try to reach some kind of social change, to stay close to an expansive idea of love. And so I saw them really as two sides of the same coin.
No, that, and it makes sense. So with your poetry, you know, talk to me a little bit about what's inspiring you these days, where where do you draw inspiration from, and what do you hope to accomplish with your words?
I really draw inspiration from the resilience of folks that have been displaced. Some of my poetry explores themes of grief and loss, but also the link between grief and loss and that of birth and new beginnings. So in a nutshell, it's a little bit of exploration of those sorts of topics.
Sure. And, you know, having had a diverse upbringing in these different places, I'm wondering if the reading and the culture of those cities, you know, how would you say you're a mixture of the three places? Do you feel rooted more in any one place? Or, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely feel it's a mixture of all the places that I have come through and continue to. So there isn't, one expression of one place. My poetry was strongly influenced by my late father, who introduced me to Urdu poetry as a young girl. So there's definitely that influence as well.
And how is that sort of poetry that you were introduced to at a young age different than, or is it not? What is unique about that style of poetry?
I suppose what was unique for me is the way that my dad shared it with me, and to me it always felt like poetry was life. It wasn't something that was inaccessible. It was something very accessible as nature would be. It would be a reflection of nature. You know, poetry would be shared, doing yard work or over the kitchen table. It'd be casually shared. It wouldn't be so formal or having to see it on a stage or, have to go to a library. Though we went to tons of libraries, and I definitely had the gift of being able to see poetry on the stage as well. But poetry is love. It's life. It's a reflection of our deepest spirits.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. I love that idea. I do feel like maybe in Western culture it is more precious and formal, as you say, the idea of poetry. So your previous work includes, it's been included in anthologies like Shattering Stereotypes, Muslim Women Speak Out, Living Islam Out Loud, American Muslim Women Speak, Shout Out. There's definitely a thread here being connected. But I want to hear a little bit about your forthcoming book, City of Pearls. What can we expect out of that? How is it, different or not than your previous work? And yeah, talk to us a little bit about that.
I'm so excited about this book. It's going to be released in the fall via Upset Press. And the title, City of Pearls, is a nickname for the city of Hyderabad, India. And I was really drawn to the idea of the creation of pearls. They are created through grit and patience and time. And, they take something that is thrown away and make it into something beautiful. The book explores themes, as I'd mentioned earlier, of grief and loss and migration, displacement, love, birth, losing oneself, and then ultimately finding oneself and sense of home.
Beautiful. And I want to talk a little bit about Hyderabad. If I'm not mistaken, it's essentially like more central India than it would be north or south.
It's a south central city.
Okay.
Yes.
And I just, paint a little picture for us of the city and how it's different than, I think like so many Westerners, they think India and they maybe have one image in their mind of one place, and it's just such a different, you know, city to city, region to region, it can be so different. So what makes that area unique as compared to the rest of India?
Well, what you'll get from me is the imaginary hologram of what Hyderabad is, because I haven't had the privilege to get to live there. It's what it's been in my heart, and the fantasy of what it is in my heart and mind. But from the short visits that I've able to have, my last in 2014, it's a really magical city filled with beautiful architecture, a rich culture, amazing food, and rapidly changing city.
Beautiful. Well, I certainly hope to go there one day. It's like a selfish question. I'm like, tell me about it. I want to go. But I would love to hear a piece of work of yours. I think you've selected a poem for us, so it would be incredible to hear that. And I think Kais might even play us with a little bit of accompaniment behind. So if you would, please introduce the poem that we're about to hear.
Thank you. This poem is called Invocation. My dad walks with me in the mornings. The sun is new. Even in the cold, I can feel him in unknown spaces and collapse. If I were sad, he'd bring me fruit and water. If I were scared, he'd listen and offer counsel. He would give me a poem. He would tell me a joke. I would know that he was there. I've never seen my dad cry, but I have seen him leave this world. I felt him as a machine sang a flat note parallel to a digital line on a screen. I reached for his hand. My dad walks with me in the mornings. He taught me how to plant things. He showed me how to herd sheep, to pay attention to life force, listen to the earth. He would tell me, this is but a moment. He would tell me, you're a good mom. He would show me maps in the sky and how evergreens never lose their emerald. He would read Aitol Kursi, and it would smell like safety and rose water. He would say, Aleph, Lam, Mim, and I would know that he was there. He would say, the world is full of secrets. He would say, listen.
That was absolutely beautiful. And if you happen to just be tuning in, that was Shamea Lee Naeem with a live poem here on Full Service Radio, accompanied by Kais Essar. If you want to hear more from the two of them, and you happen to be in Washington, D.C. right now, we have listeners worldwide, but if you are here in D.C., if you happen to be in this hotel, in your hotel room listening to this, you can catch them both tomorrow, August 10th, at the Now You See Us From Periphery to Presence event, which is hosted by the Smithsonian Asian Pacific American Center. Will be happening at 6 p.m. at the Kennedy Center Millennium Stage, and then at 8 p.m. at Tropicalia. There are two chances here. And we're really, really thrilled to have the both of you here. That was a really great way to enjoy a Thursday afternoon here in D.C., kind of take a break from everything. Shane, why don't you tell us or I'm sorry, Chamay, why don't you tell us where we can find your work, where we can find you online, and where people can follow you.
Well, definitely check out the Upset Press website for updates on the release of the book City of Pearls. You can also find me at ShamayAli.com as well as ShamayAli on Instagram.
And to spell that out for people, that would be ShamEali, yes?
It would be SHAM-E-ALLI.com or SHAM_E_ALI.
Yes, we replace hyphens with underscores on the social. I love it. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing that work.
Thank you.
And Kais Esar, tell us more about the things that you have planned outside of this performance, where people can find your work to hear more and what you've got planned.
I'm everywhere. So, you know, iTunes, Amazon, whatever, as far as where you can get my music and or listen more. After this is kind of like the beginning of my fall-winter kind of tour and, you know, jaunt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I did a... I did like 2 months in the spring, and I'll be doing about 2 or 3 months out now. I kind of started already, and more or less more performances. As we kind of talked about earlier, I also write for a musical, which has a residency in New York at the end of September. So between things like that, I'm working on, I'm always working on new music, so hopefully I'll have a new release by, I'm planning a couple releases by the end of the year, aside from just regular shows and touring, all of which is available social media and or all the websites and stuff. You can just search me. It'll all come up.
Beautiful. And that's QAISESSAR.
That's right.
One more question about the Rabab. I mean, with all that touring and traveling and working, it must be, it seems to be a delicate instrument, and you mentioned that before in terms of humidity and weather mm-hmm. and all of that. I mean, how do you manage to sort of protect such a delicate instrument along all those travels?
I fly select airlines as far as transport, and yeah, I mean, having toured a lot, you kind of like know who's going to treat you well and who's not. I had this custom case made for me in Bombay, which has been also very good to me, and yeah, I mean, I've played everywhere, so, you know, given the fact that this is, like, you know, the top of it, whereas, like, a guitar would, you know, this is for those of you who aren't seeing this, you know, where it would have, like, wood and a hole, this just has, you know, skin, kind of like a drum head, so, you know, I've played in Somalia, where the humidity is so intense that this whole thing has just, you know, completely, you know, sagged. So it's about really prepping the instrument before the actual performance. You know, I kind of wish I had more time in here to, like, tune specifically and, like, let it sit. But the instrument is, you know, I regard it much like I would, you know, a friend. And so it's like another person. And just yeah. like, you know, you need at least like a half hour, you know, getting off a plane to kind of like sit and do you stretch. And, yes. you know, it's the same. And, it's, you know, one thing that we kind of forget that the instruments, at least in my perspective, are very much alive and should be treated with the same respect that you would treat, you know, another person.
No question. And as you mentioned, you know, it's built from materials that very much were alive and are alive, and part of, I'm sure, of what makes it sound so gorgeous. So thank you for sharing it, for bringing it here, and for doing what you do, to both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for
and,
having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Nafisa, thank you for making this happen. We're going to close out with one more song, Kais, from you, if that's okay.
Sure.
So, yeah, I'll let you take us out. And again, this has been Full Service Radio, fullserviceradio.org. We broadcast live from the Lion Hotel here in Adams Morgan. Everything is archived online at fullserviceradio.org. My name is Jack Inslee, and until next time, thank you for listening.